Praise God. Let's do this. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What did he do first? He taught. Notice that? Say, the first thing he did, he said he taught in the synagogues. He went and taught the people. Because if he didn't teach in the synagogues, he ended teaching the synagogues to get the people ready, because he was going to hit the streets with preaching. Somebody say, we teach in the church, preach in the streets. Say it one more time. We teach in the church, but we preach in the street. He said he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing some kind of sicknesses. Healing, you know, easy cases of diseases. Just the common colds. Healing what kind of sickness? Now, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means his healing touch can heal every manner of sickness. That means AIDS. That means cancer. That means liver disease. That means the common cold. He went about healing every manner of sickness. Didn't matter how it got there. Doesn't matter how it came. It all's got to go. Healing every manner of sickness and every disease among the people. You can get out there and you can teach. You can preach. And you can heal and do many great mighty signs and wonders. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There's a multitude out there that hear the word in the byways and highways. You hear what I'm saying? You can hear Jesus on your way anywhere. But being scattered, God is moved with compassion when he sees saints scattered. I tell you what, God would be moved with compassion if he came to our city. How often do we find scattered sheep? Well, where are you this week? Where were you last week? Somebody say, we're just floating around trying to find where to land. God's moved with compassion. Not only did he go about healing all kind of sickness and disease and working all kind of stuff out, what did he do? He was moved with compassion when he saw sheep scattered without a shepherd. God is just as concerned about your church home as he is about the cancer on you. And listen, and they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto who? I tell you what, isn't it a trip? He can preach, teach, and heal all kind of stuff. But when the sheep are out there having no shepherd, who does he go to? He'd have to preach that message here today. See, because Jesus is out there. He's all around town. We've seen many great signs and wonders by Benny Hinn. You hear me? You can turn on the TV and get all the teaching. You can hear teaching from the morning, from the time you open your eyes in the morning till the time you lay your head down at sleep. You got some teaching. Amen. And there are many people, anybody can lay hands on the sick today and just about get them healed. But there's something else that needs to happen. Somebody say, there's a problem that he calls on the disciples to fix. Notice when he said the sheep had no shepherd, he called who? He called his what? My God. Somebody say, this looks like a problem that God can use us in. See, Jesus was the master shepherd. See, everybody waiting for some great pastor to come to town to bring the sheep together. The disciples will do this job. It reminds me of Like Nations Church right here. I thank God. I tell you what, I am so encouraged by you saints. I love it. I'm just excited to see what God is doing. God is doing some great and mighty things, to see all the name tags and bandages legitimately given. Somebody say amen. Y'all are ready. There are a lot of sheep out there with no shepherd, scattered all about. Well, that's just like the church. He said that the body would come together once again. Do you know that's the spirit where he said bone upon bone, flesh upon flesh, scattered sheep. When the sheep comes back together again, the body will come back together again. And this is a job that the spirit of the disciple will take care of. And he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Now I want you to jump over to John chapter 4, verse 35. There's a spirit of the evangelist in this place tonight. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. There's some evangelists in here, and I'm going to stir up the gift within you. Amen. I'm going to stir up the gift of the evangelist within you that we might see that thing start to manifest suddenly. Say ye not. Somebody say, don't even let it come out of your mouth anymore. Somebody say, don't even say it. I tell you what, don't you say it in this church. We're not allowed to say it anymore. There's a time and a season. There's a time and a season for everything. But I tell you what, say ye not. There are yet 4 more months. Well, what are 4 months? 3 or 4 months is what? A season. Because don't you say this is not the season. And then cometh harvest. We have to go through 1 more season of this, and then we get a harvest. Somebody say, don't ever say, harvest time is next season. I'm in John chapter 4, verse 35. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. I tell you what, sometimes you need to get your head out of the hole in the ground. Do you hear what I'm saying? And put them on the field. Sometimes you need to get your eyes off of some of the petty stuff that goes on in church and get it on the field. Sometimes you need to get your eyes off your sisters and your brothers and what they're doing with their stuff and what they're doing with their business and get it to the field. Jesus said, listen, he saw scattered sheep everywhere. He said, listen, don't you say next season is a season of harvest. But I want you to get your eyes right now by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I'm praying that you might have an anointing to see the fields. Look over there. Ask God, touch your eyes right now, that you might see the harvest field. For they are white and ready to harvest. Do you know you're not going to go to harvest until you first see the field? You got to have an anointing on you to see the field, because everybody else is trying to push it off till tomorrow. When the revival comes tomorrow, the revival will be here next week, next year. It'll all come together in God's own time. It's time. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. God is ready. And if you would just get by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost, that God would say to you, and the Holy Ghost is saying to you tonight, look to the field, for they are white and ready. People are ready. No better time than now to have a Holy Ghost revival. You know, they couldn't see it before. For they are white and all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Anybody want some Holy Ghost wages? There's a covenant promise in here that if you reap, you'll get wages. You'll be blessed. God said, listen, if you go out there and work for me, you go out there and do the thing for me, get out there and reap. Don't get out there and play games. Don't get out there and look around, but get out there and mean some business. God said, hey, I'll make a way for you. Said, he that reapeth receiveth wages. Well, why do you think in the last day God's going to pour out all of his abundance? We've heard Leroy Thompson teaching about the great overflow of finances coming into the body of Christ. And that people, there would be so much money in the body of Christ, and that the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous. Why is all this wealth going to come into the body of Christ in the last day? Because he that reapeth receiveth wages. There have been seasons upon seasons upon seasons where the church would not go out there and reap. But the church is hearing the word of the Holy Ghost in this final day, and it's about to go out and reap. And as it goes out there and reaps the way that God said it would reap, God says, hey, I'll give you wages. There's a blessing on kingdoms, there's a blessing on nation, and there's a blessing on people that will win souls. It's right here in the word of God. And gathereth fruit unto eternal life. There are two blessings. Now, you'll get paid here on earth, but you'll also have fruit in the kingdom to come. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Three blessings. Three covenant promises right there that go to the spirit of the evangelist. One is you receive wages. Two, you'll have fruit in the kingdom to come. Three, God said he would rejoice with you. How would you like to get drunk with the Holy Ghost? How'd you like to get drunk with Jesus? Did you know that all of heaven rejoices when one backslider turns back around to God? That they have a Holy Ghost fit? God says, listen, when we get souls together, I promise I'll party with you. There are three covenant promises. The first promise is that God would give you wages. Two, that you'd have fruit in the kingdom to come. Three is that he would rejoice with you. Why? He is the one that sowed. Remember, we talked about God sowed Jesus into the earth, that he that soweth and also he that reapeth, God sowed his son, re-reaped the harvest. Then we all rejoice together.
Say, I expect.
Say, I expect. You better wake up in the name of Jesus. It's harvest time. You better stir yourself up. Say, I expect to rejoice with God over the fruit and over the labor and over the harvest in Jesus' name. I'll be shouting in this season to come because I'm going to see God move by His Spirit. I'm going to see souls saved. I'm going to be rejoicing over what He can do. I expect to see it happen. I've shouted over cars. I've shouted over houses. I've shouted over rings. I'm about to shout over souls. That they will rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. God did the sowing. You do the reaping. God already did the sowing and all you got to do is reap. He's already paid for it. All you got to do is go out and get it. You know what? Salvation's free. He's already made the down payment. You don't owe the devil anything when you go pull a soul out of hell. It's already paid for. Why are you going to have relatives and kinfolk and neighbors stuck in hell and can't get out with a ransom on their head when it's already been paid for? So I got the name of Jesus and I can bring them out. Jesus sowed it and you're the reaper. Look at somebody say, I'm the reaper. I'm God's reaper. You know there are a couple reapers. I'd rather be reaped by you than the grim reaper. You see, if you've got an evangelistic spirit on you, you need to say, I'm the reaper of the Holy Ghost. I'm still here, amen. I'm coming to pick up what my Father paid for. I'm out here looking for what my Father paid for. The devil can't have him anymore. Devil, I'm here to let you know that that one is bought by the blood of Jesus. Let him go in Jesus' name. I'm the reaper. What you sitting there talking to the devil for? Just go on and take back what the devil stole. In the name of Jesus. Somebody's going to have a new boldness by the Holy Ghost to get out there and get some souls saved. Not do it in the consciousness of their head, but they're going to find out who they are in Christ. They're going to stop asking the devil's permission to do stuff. They're going to find out their covenant right. Come on. And go out there and do it. You're going to find out, and all you got to do is preach the word, whether they want to hear it or not, and water the seed and bring them out. I'm calling on the preacher right now. Say, I'm a reaper. I'm an end-time reaper in the harvest of the Lord. My God. I'm an end-time reaper in the harvest of my God. Bringing in the sheaves. They shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Anybody getting excited about this? I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. And people are sitting there talking about, before we can get some souls saved, we got to travail in the spirit. We got to travail and cry for a long time, and then we can get these souls saved. Brother, you're out of season. Jesus, it's already been impregnated. The seed's already been sown. It's harvest time. God, He's already had travail. It's time for birth. No labor. Just get out there and open your mouth and get in the Holy Ghost. Ain't going to be no big deal. You have to work your heads gray. All you got to do is get out there and get out of yourself and get into the Word and preach the Word of God and watch what God does. Just preach the Word. Get out there and do a couple signs and wonders. Just get out there and have a Holy Ghost fit. No labor. Sometimes your work gets in the way. I'm excited about it. I dare you to get out there and just get happy about God and see what happens. You're a reaper in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. What am I going to do this week? I'm going to preach the word and reap and rejoice. That's what Sunday morning should be. Celebrate the souls that you won in Jesus' name. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. God wants you to know that you're in on something that started a long time ago. You're a part of the end time. You're a part of the end time. Other people have paved the way. You got it easy. All you got to do is reap. I mean, the church has been beating the devil silly for 2,000 years. He's nearly worn out. And all you got to do is go take the spoils. There have been people that say, oh, we just got to defeat the devil. No, he's just beat silly. The man's out. Stop kicking the devil and go get some souls. We need to do more spiritual warfare. I mean, how bad can you beat the man? Go and get his stuff. Go and get his stuff. Go out and get it. Now, listen to this. John chapter 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the cities believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. He told me all that I ever did. A witness here. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy sayings, for we have heard of him ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Y'all want to see the cycle of evangelism? You want to see the cycle of evangelism? First of all, the woman testified. She got out there to the word. And she went out and said, What God has done for me. Look what the Lord has done. She talked so much, they said, Then I got to go find out from him myself what they're talking about. See, there are a whole lot of people that are out talking on the street like the woman did. But you can talk on the street all you want to, because they can only get so much on the street. There are some things they got to get in the house. They got to get to Jesus himself. Do you know that? See, there are a lot of people that blow it with people trying to get people saved, and they keep them on the street. They keep them on their testimony, keep their little small thing. No, you got to get them to the fullness of the Godhead. You got to get them to the full measures. Well, it's the same thing today. Did you know that? Do you know that the church, the local church ordained of the Holy Ghost, is the same as Jesus today? That whole thing put together is God. They can hear the same Jesus. They can get in there and feel his touch. Somebody might have a healing gift. They can get there and hear somebody prophesy. They'll hear God talk. Do you hear what I'm saying? So they went and said, listen, they got to hear the testimony first. Then they get to him himself. They get into a Holy Ghost meeting where they see his manifestations. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not enough just to hear it on TV. It's not enough just to catch it by the wayside. Somebody give you a track. You got to get into the house and see him yourself. God is not dead. He is yet alive. There is something supernatural about a Holy Ghost filled body of believers. It's what God established. It's what God ordained. His spirit abides there. Jesus said, get him to me. People don't know where God is. People keep their children from him. He said, get them to me. It's not enough just to tell them from your mouth, but you better get them to Jesus. You better get them around the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There are a whole lot of people that have heard the testimony of the Samaritan woman, and they're living off the testimony of the Samaritan woman, whatever she said. But we got to bring them in and let the Holy Ghost read their mail. Let him get in their business. And then after they brought them to Jesus, they abode with Jesus for about 2 days. Just hang around for a bit. I mean, I can tell you one thing. You know, you meet me and I can give you a little bit of Jesus that I know. But if I can get you in here, get you around the saints and get you in the flow of the Holy Ghost, your mind will be blown. You'll get something that you can't get from an individual. Collectively, the body of Christ will say something to you that individually we can't say. There are a lot of people that are missing it. They got to find out that God is real. And there are a lot of people that don't know it today. Sheep scattered abroad, having no shepherd. They got to bring them in. Okay, so they brought him in, and they abode with him 2 days, and somebody say, many more. Note in verse 41. First, the woman heard Jesus one-on-one, and she went out. Then they wanted to hear him a little bit. Then they hung around Jesus. And as they hung around Jesus, what happened? Multiplication. Many more. See, you can get a lot of people just by going out there and sharing your testimony. It'll stay real small. That's a level. And that's a dimension just right there. Having street witnesses, it'll grow a little bit. It'll do all right. But do you want many more? Do you want many more? But when they got them into Jesus himself, when they got them in contact with God himself, do you know it's the same thing? The flow of the Holy Ghost is the same thing as having Jesus in the midst of you? It's no different. It's no better. You can get exactly what you would get if Jesus were here in person as you can in a Holy Ghost flowing meeting. The same God, no less powerful. He said he would do greater things in the last day. As soon as you're trying to distort the plan of God and realize how powerful God is, that he hasn't diminished his power any. Boy, I wish what they had back then. No, you got a better covenant. And as soon as we find out about it, as soon as we get the revelation on it, guess what? We'll start to see some of those things they saw. We start to worship God like God was in the house. You don't know what you believe. You're just in emotionalism and whatever it is. But when the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in the room, Jesus is in the house. People say, oh, they read the story about the woman with the issue of blood, how Jesus reached out and touched him. That same man can be in the room if you turn your heart to him. Right here. He could sit right down beside you. Get your faith there. What else are you going to get? What is the Holy Ghost? I mean, we don't realize where he came from. You know, we lessen him down. He was right there. Do you know the Holy Ghost that moves was right there? He was the power within Jesus that touched the woman. My God. Do you know the same fiery burning bush. The power that was in the burning bush was the Holy Ghost, and it abides in you. It's not a new one. It's the same Jesus. The same man that hung on the cross and died and bled and was buried, went down to hell and set the captives free and rose again on the third day and appeared before all the world. Guess what? He's in you. No less God. Same Jesus. No less diminished in his power. No less diminished in his ability. If his clothes that he wore had the ability to heal the sick. If he put on clothes that healed the sick, my God. Look at somebody and say, what you doing sick with the healer living within you? Get him to Jesus. And you need to have that expectation too. Not just that you're getting around a bunch of people. When the body comes together collectively, so also is Christ. Every joint supply, so also is Christ. And whatever Jesus did then, he can do it in that collective body. My God. Whatever love he demonstrated and motivated back then in one person, collectively he can accomplish the same thing through a body that's focused on him. And many more believed because of his word. Listen, many more because of his word. By him. They got him up under the teaching, and somebody say, many more. I tell you what, I prophesy by the Holy Ghost and anointing is coming on you. You will be witnesses all over the place. And you'll experience revival like you've never seen it before as you go out and do the things. Guess what? But I tell you what's going to, they're going to come into the house and the Holy Ghost is going to get a hold of them. They're going to get up under the word and you're going to see something you ain't never seen. You're going to see many more. Can it get much better than this? Yes. And they said unto the woman, now we believe not because of your sayings alone. That's not enough. That's not enough. God gave me a new house. That'll keep you for about 3 or 4 weeks or 2 years. Testimony can only keep you for so long. There's some people that are living on testimonies. And sooner or later, they'll get exalted in their own pride, think they did it themselves, and the testimony will vanish away. If you're holding on to any of your little experience, even that God did for you, do you hear what I'm saying? It's not enough to hold you. You get what I'm saying? Your belief's got to be in the Word of God. It'll hold you for a couple of days. It should hold you forever. But we know how we are. Look what God did for me. Look what God did for me. Yeah, right. You better get in the Word. God touched me last night. I fell out over the floor. That's nice. You better get in the Word. We believe because of your Word. Anybody ever seen him? Come on, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are a lot of churches that are doing stuff like that, and they get people stuff, and they never get them addicted to the Word of God. If you can't turn them on to the Word of God, they will never stay on. It's like a battery. You better plug them into a wall someplace. The battery will go out. But you better get into the Word of God. The Word of God will hold you when everything else falls apart. See, we don't believe just because of what you said. There have been a whole lot of people went out and talking about it. Them, me. This is what happened to me. God did this to me. I did that. Anybody ever heard them? You can only hold on that for so long. Sooner or later, they're going to get sick of hearing about you. Even God might have done something good. God healed my back. God did this. That's nice and that's wonderful. But people can't live off of that. If they could live off of that, God would have gave you a chapter in the Bible. Sooner or later, you hear the same old thing over. Then you should never get rid of your testimony. But don't you exalt your testimony up above the Word of God. I don't want to hear about nobody else's experience more than I hear about the Bible. Maybe you should ask him. All right, you told me about 105 times. Tell me a scripture or something. Tell me something that Jesus did. Or should I just type it up and staple it to the back of my Bible? Better give him the Word. Your testimony will catch him, but the Word will keep him. How many are glad you got a testimony? Your testimony will catch him, but the Word will keep him. Ooh, it's like evangelists. We said that one thing about evangelism. We said, listen, evangelism, the spirit of the evangelist has the ability to get out there and catch people that nobody else can catch. But I tell you, you leave them around a convert longer than 6 weeks, that convert will be sick as a dog. Sick of them. They're sicky. They're sticky. It's like something sweet and sticky, but you get too much of it, you'll get sick. They need to get around the Word, something that'll sustain them. Can't live on lollipops. You can catch somebody with cheesecake. But if you start serving cheesecake morning, night, noon, people will get sick. They need the Word. He said, now we believe not because of what you said, but because we have heard him for ourselves and know indeed. They won't know indeed until they experience God for themselves. And it's not even enough for them to come here and hear me run my mouth. That's not enough. They've got to hear him for themselves. God has got to manifest himself and speak to them clearly for themselves. Then they will know indeed that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount of Zion. Zion is calling us to a higher place of praise. And with him, my God. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. This is the Holy Ghost church. End times. We've been talking about the end times lately. We usually don't talk about the end times. You know, you usually get to some of those churches where they get into all these figurative stuff. But we're talking about the end times here. And lo, I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion. In the end time, the Lamb will be on Mount Zion. And with him, circle that. And with him, 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers and harping with their harps. And they sung as it were what? And they sung what? And they sung what? What did they sing? What did the Holy Ghost talk to us about Friday night? A new song. Why do you keep singing and why do you keep running your mouth? Why do the songs go over again? Y'all just making up. God is on Mount Zion singing a new song. He's ready to come. We're with him on Mount Zion. Therefore, we hear a new song. Say, I'm with him on Mount Zion. That's why I'm singing a new song. Somebody asks you, why are y'all singing songs one word over and over again, and it's not even on the screen. It's not on the screen, and y'all just keep singing a song. Tell them, it's the close of all time, and the Lamb is on Mount Zion, and I'm there with him, and we're singing a new song. It was prophesied in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. It's a new song, and I'm a part of that. Before the throne. Zion is calling us to a higher place of praise. And before the four beasts are there. You want to know where you are? You're on Mount Zion with the new song, the beasts are ready. This is the end time. If you hear the new song, God's fixing to come. New song is a mighty thing in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. This is it. When you hear the new song, you see the four beasts. We're packing up and getting ready to get out of here. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You know what a new song is because you've heard it. What's the new song? Something good. Something just right. It's going to happen to you. Let it happen to you. Let it happen to you. I tell you what, don't get mad when you hear the new song, when you see a new song go on in one of those services. Don't get mad because it's going on and droning out. You better thank God you're on Mount Zion. You don't like hearing a new song? Get off the mountain. But Jesus ain't going to go with you. And before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Not everybody can sing it. God will give you a song that not everybody can sing. You wonder why they're not dancing. You wonder why they're not dancing to your song. They can't get into it. Not everybody can sing your song. Not everybody's going to be able to get into your way. Zion is a dimensional place. You hear what I'm saying? Who shall ascend up to the mountain of our God? He that walketh uprightly. And these are they which were not defiled with the woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb. Followers of the Lamb. These are disciples. Disciples go to the Lamb. These are the followers of the Lamb. My God, not just people that go to church. The people that follow Jesus. People that imitate Jesus, act like Jesus, that's why they're there. They didn't follow the Lamb to Mount Zion. Remember, 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 my child. Remember, my child. Remember, my child, in the beginning, when you first started to get into the move of the Spirit. Remember that move of the Spirit. Remember that move of the Holy Ghost when you were out in the Spirit. You did not understand. All you saw was the bottom of the robe and the feet, but you followed anyhow. All you saw was the bottom of the robe and the feet, but you followed anywhere. Notice that even then I was telling you that I was going to take you to Mount Zion if you continue to follow me. Those feet that you saw were my feet. Therefore, you will follow me. You have seen Mount Zion. You will follow your destiny. You shall arrive in Jesus' name. And these are they that follow the Lamb whatsoever he goeth. I had a vision years ago in a Bible study way back in Columbia, Maryland. And I could not figure it out. And it was a dimensional vision. In this prayer group, do you know we used to pray? You can get into prayer groups where you get so unified, you have the same vision, but everybody would see from a different place. And all I could see in this vision, you know, I could see some dirt and some rocks, but I could see some feet. And I could see a bottom of a robe. And, you know, I thought it was one thing until I read the scripture just now. Then the Holy Ghost said, there it is. Now I'm going to bring back to your remembrance what it was. So I saw these feet, and that's all I could see was the feet and the robe just walking. And I was just right behind. You know, I don't know whether it was me. I couldn't even see me. All I could see was like a robe and some feet. That's all I couldn't see the top. Couldn't see anything else, just the feet and the robes. But I couldn't see anything else. All I saw was the feet, the robe, and the ground. You hear what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, later on, I just kept that in my spirit, and somebody else promised. I said, I see Jesus. I see a man and it looks like Jesus. I can see his back, but I see a lamb following him. I see a lamb following him. I see a lamb following him. Do you understand why I only saw his feet and his robe? Because I was a lamb, but somebody else could see me following Jesus. The new song of the Lord. See, way back then, we didn't understand that I was going to Mount Zion to sing the new song unto the Lord. The lamb which followeth the shepherd everywhere he goeth. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. God said, come here, I want to take you someplace. I want to take you on the higher places. Follow me. I'm going to take you somewhere. He's not taking you anywhere. He's taking you to Mount Zion that you might praise his name forever. Come up here and I'll teach you a new song that even the angels can't sing. And these are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God, and lo to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach, and unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and every and kindred, and tongue, and people. Somebody say, every nation. These are the last days. Why did God call it Nations Church? We're about to get out of here. We're just waiting on the angel. We're just waiting on the angel of God to anoint us with the power to preach. See, we go up to Mount Zion, then he sends the angel out. Sing with a loud voice. Sing with a loud voice. Fear God. Some of you may know this, but one of the things that we were commissioned by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said, you will restore reverence again to the body of Christ. Fear. Sing unto them. Fear God. And give him glory. I tell you what, you can't fear God when you don't give. You will not be able to give God glory until you fear him. Some people think they can glorify God. They can do anything they want to and then get to church and raise their hands and glorify God. He's not impressed by that mess. Before you can worship God, you must fear him. Reverentially fear God. To fear God means to have faith in God. Do you hear what I'm saying? To live a life of faith. Before you worship. In both of those things you worship. But the life of fear. You know what? I met Brother Hagin one time. And I was talking to Brother Hagin. I said, go on and put your name in my Bible and tell me your favorite scripture. Just sign the Bible. Autograph. It wasn't like an autograph. But I knew that was the Holy Ghost wanted. And that man looked at me with fear. He said, oh, brother, I can't do that. I fear God. I can't do that. I said, I didn't want your autograph. I just wanted your scripture and your name. He said, now I can do it. I got released by the Holy Ghost. Reverential fear. Fear. There are certain things you do because you fear God. Why do you keep going? Why am I doing Nations Church? For an ego trip? Absolutely not. I fear God. It's what God said. I obey the Holy Ghost. I fear the Holy Ghost. I fear not to walk by faith. Fear of God. Some people are afraid to do stuff for God. I'm afraid not to. Fear God. How are you going to glorify God with your life when you don't fear him? You don't reverence him? You can't do anything for God without any reverential fear. You can't serve God without reverential fear. You got to worship him with reverential fear first. Don't think you're doing God some favor when you're doing something for him. Before you do anything for God to bring him glory, you better get a fear. Say, God, I'll do it the way you want me to, how you want me to, when you want me to. I reverentially fear you. Therefore, I will service you in fear. Reverential fear. Not that he's going to knock you out like some greasy spot, but you reverence him. You just can't do it any kind of way. You better do it by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for some people to fear the Holy Ghost, not a bunch of people that know what they're doing. Too many people know what they're doing. They don't do nothing. You can know how to fry French fries. What's that going to do? I'm sick of people that know what they're doing. Got it down to a science this and a science of that, a little step this, step that, step. You better find me somebody that knows the Holy Ghost and fears God, that obey God when it makes sense, that will do things they don't even know how to do, but they would do it just because God said to do it. Don't get behind any pastor. Don't get behind any church. Keep somebody that's in the fear of the Holy Ghost. When they feel that they got it all together, they know exactly what they're doing, brother, pray that they would always maintain a Holy Ghost reverence and a Holy Ghost fear to obey God no matter what. Never want to play it too safe. Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of judgment is come. And worship him. You better hide yourself in the place of worship. No time to be acting crazy. I'm not just talking to the church. I'm talking to the entire world. You better cut that mess out and get someplace and get in the house someplace and reverence God and fear God and go on and worship him. Don't you know the beast and that God's about to do some things in the earth? And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. Revelation chapter 8. And there followed another angel saying, behold, saying, Babylon is fallen. Say, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all the nations drink of her wine and the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same drink of wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they had no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name. Babylon is fallen. Babylon means our way of doing things, our little way that we got stuff all set up. We're all working towards one world economy. We can all know that you give money this and money that. There's a whole system set up, a Babylonian system. People, well, I got my stocks, I got my bonds, and I got my job. The economy's going well. Who's over the economy in the U.S.? Whatever. Everybody's got this world economy. New York, great people sitting up there like fat cats. But I tell you what, there's coming a day. It's prophesied. Babylon will fall. I'm not talking about just one nation. I'm talking about that system will decay. You hear what I'm saying? You might look safe, and that system going to fall apart, and then that enemy's going to come in and build up a new one. While this happens, you worship. Keep going on. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. The patience of the saints. Remember, God tell us, be not weary in doing well, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Saints need to be patient. Here are they that kept the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus. Faith. Didn't just say believe in Jesus. Somebody said faith. These are those that kept the commandment of God no matter what happens, whether it was Babylon or the Antichrist or anything. They kept the commandment of God no matter what, and the faith in Jesus. You got to have the faith of Jesus. Notice that somebody said faith of Jesus. Say it one more time. Faith of Jesus. There are a whole lot of people that came out against faith in this last day. Do you hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Faith is a supernatural force of the Holy Ghost. And it said, these are those that kept the commandment of God and the faith, which is the power of God, of Jesus. Without faith, it's impossible for anybody to please God. You got to learn faith. You better get in the churches teaching some faith. So they say faith churches are in the Bible. These are those that have kept the commandment of God, the reverence and fear of God, and the faith of Jesus. Have the faith of God. Remember that in Scripture? But they have the faith of Jesus. My God. Why? Because they're imitators of Jesus. They have the mind of Christ and have kept the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand what? I looked on a cloud. A white cloud looks like Shekinah glory to me, doesn't it? And behold, I saw a white cloud look like glory to me. And in the glory, within the glory, and on that glory, somebody was wrapped up in the glory. And upon the cloud, one sat like unto the Son of Man, and having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. I think that Son of Man is Jesus. And that cloud was the wave of glory. And I think that Jesus on the cloud is the church. So also is Christ, with a sickle in his hand. I believe in this last wave, and there's going to be a wave of glory coming where the church will come together as the full measure of Christ, a full measure of the body of Christ, with a sickle in his hand. When Jesus comes back again, he's going to come back to claim the church. I mean, the church is going to look like Jesus, do the works of Jesus. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. Another angel. And came to and talked to him that sat on the cloud. Remember that the angel at that one verse that we were reading in the Bible? Remember the one thing, and they said they saw an angel and he was preaching. He said he told them to preach. The angel that went out and told them to preach. And another angel crying with a loud voice said unto him that sat on the cloud. And we are the body of Christ. No two different. Not the body and the person are not separate from one another. You're going to learn to reverence some things of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why you got to be careful touching, messing with saints and coming in between saints. When two saints are trying to get along and you messing up their stuff, you better be careful. That's Jesus. Don't you split that up. This is a supernatural thing. This is not just any relationship. This is not a club. This is a God thing. And said unto him that sat on the cloud, upon the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is what? But Jesus said unto his disciples, look to the field, for they are white and ripe. Jesus said, look unto the field. He said unto his disciples, look unto the field, for they are ripe. And here the angel says, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That means that 2,000 years ago, if Jesus said the fields were ripe, what do you think about now? And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth. And what? What are you? What are you? You're the reaper of God. You're the hand of God. You are the feet of God. You are fellow heirs with Christ Jesus. He dwells in you, and corporately, listen. And another angel came out of the temple which was in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar and had power over the fire and the sickle and all these other things. See, listen. The first was church. The second's the grim reaper. Remember we said earlier, you better have me. I'd rather have you reap me than the next one. You got to tell people, you better let me cut the church reap you in, glory to God, because there's another reaper that's coming after. You will be reaped, but you need to find out whose basket you're going to be in. Oh, it will come down. God's going to strip the earth. It belongs to him. Everything's coming down. Two angels. Angel is a messenger or representative of God. It's a sent one. First one's coming with the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, listen, fear God and worship him while you got a chance. And those that will do that will be caught up. And those that didn't. Second reaper. Thrust in the sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, and her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth and gather the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden with the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Ripe. Harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. And that word ripe means mature. I'm going to tell you what. Things mature. The church matures. The earth matures. Babies mature. Everything grows up. And I tell you what, the church is maturing into the image of Jesus Christ. The end's about to come. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. There's a whole lot more going on. There is a whole lot more going on than you think about. What? Thank God for the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, planet? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Isn't this a foundational scripture of the church? And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists and some pastors for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till everybody gets into the unity of the faith. My God, he's put the fivefold ministry there that they might get the body of Christ to get into the unity of the faith. Those that have the faith of Jesus. Revelations. Those that have the faith of Jesus. Those that have sat up under the Holy Ghost and sat up under the fivefold ministry until they get in the faith of Jesus. Of the faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? A perfect man, like the man riding on the white horse. He said, yours says what?
A full grown man.
Didn't say a bunch of men, did it? It said a perfect man. Who is the perfect man? Who is the perfect man? So that ministry works over that body and they get into a unity of faith, and that body is going to grow up. Church, the body will grow up into the perfect measure of Jesus Christ. And I believe this is the day, and this is the hour, and this is the time when we will see this happen, where God's word will become true. He said, greater works they will do because I go unto my Father. He won't show up. When we heard the Holy Ghost say around here, I can do much more than this, you better listen. Unto the perfect man, unto the measure. What measure? My God, listen. He's ready to manifest himself in what? Full measure. Say, God's hooking him. He's getting us together that he might show up completely. He's going to get the body of Christ together. That fivefold ministry is working and doing some stuff. Why do you think the devil's trying to pull the church apart and come against the fivefold ministry? Because they're working that the body of Christ might come together, that the church would come together in full measure. And when the church comes together in full measure, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the anointing, that henceforth we be no more tossed, that we be no more children tossed to and fro. Devil ain't gonna push Jesus around, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. I mean, you're ready. Are you ready? You ready to see it? You got that planted in your heart. You have that planted in your spirit. Now you understand what the Holy Ghost is doing. Now you're understanding what the Holy Ghost is doing. Look around and tell somebody, we're about to see the fullness. Why are they gone cutting away the flag? Pruning it. Amen. My God, my God, my God. I expect it, I receive it, and I believe it.
Before you went over to Ephesians, I saw something in that scripture. What does the head represent in the church? The head represents what?
Jesus.
Right. but it also represents authority, right? Mm-hmm. But I saw something, because Pastor Rod had just said about one of our commissions is restoring fear and reverence to the body of Christ. And I saw that it was neat because there was a crown of gold on his head. And, you know, which represents honor to authority, which ultimately is Jesus. And everyone that is an authority commissioned by Jesus. But honor to the head and honor to Jesus. And I just, you know, when he came down as a man, the world put on him a crown of thorns. And ever since, in the body of Christ, there's been a struggle, people trying to fight against. Authority is just God's way. It's the way that he has for the body to work. And when people fight against that and have dishonored it, trying to put a crown of thorns. I was offended because I heard people talking about, in the past few days, about pastors and leaders by their first name. And it brought back so many memories of us trying to make this casual, dishonored Christianity, where I call pastor by his first name, and I call, you know, you shouldn't really just say Jesus. He's Lord Jesus Christ. We get too familiar, and we dishonor authority with a crown of thorns. But here in the scripture, this is the end times, and it's time to get it right, and we need to honor God and honor authority. That crown of gold represents honor. And it's restoring what was Jesus's. He came down and humbled himself and let men do whatever they wanted. But that's the restoration of the authority.